how fragile all the things we depend on really are, and it just draws us to a place that we have to look outside of ourselves, outside of the world, to the God who created us and the God who wanted to save us. And I want to focus this on the eternal truth this morning very quickly, which is, you know, God has promised salvation to those who trust him. You know, and salvation means God saves us from our sin. You know, God's saving has three tenses. God saves us from the penalty of our sin. God saves us from the power of our sin right now in the present tense. God's ultimately going to save us from the presence of sin when we stand with him and worship him like today in heaven. You know, God's done those things. And, you know, God has promised salvation for those who trust him. He's the source of deliverance, of hope, and of light. There's really no other place we're going to find those things. And I know my hopes have been dashed so many times. I haven't been delivered. I haven't been able to deliver myself. Only God can do that. And only God can give me light in the midst of the darkness that we deal with. And what I want to share with you as we kind of move on this morning very quickly is this, is that, you know, as we stop and think about, I know you and I have probably felt this in this last 18 months to a year. Hasn't it been dark? You know, and I think compounding that, you know, as we're in winter season, when it gets dark at 4 o'clock, that is just depressing, isn't it? It's dark. What I want to share with us, when we stop and think about these times of darkness, there's this present darkness that we're dealing with. Our life has been put into check. We've lost brothers and sisters and family members. You know, we've suffered through maybe the disease ourselves, or we've seen our family members go through it. And, you know, by God's grace, many have come through. Others have not. It's just been a dark day. We've seen our economy, you know, be tanked. We've seen our freedom, you know, just be checked so much. And what I want to say to us today is, you know what? Darkness isn't new in 2020 and 2021. But darkness has been going on all the way back. And I want to look at, you know, the Bible. What I love about the Bible so much is it's not this sugar-coated story about everything is going to be great, there's never going to be any problems, but it's a story set in the backdrop of darkness, and it shows me that there's a God who loves me, and there's a God who can give light, and a God who can change my reality even though it's hard. And that's what I want to just take a minute this morning just to think about, and I want to just share with us, think about in Scripture, and we're not going to look at all these passages, we could do it all day if we tried, but think about the Scriptures and think about all these past crises that happened in the Scriptures, and God wrote them down as they were. Times weren't easy then either. But let me say this, God was always the God who was redeeming and giving us hope. And as I look at these things, I want you to stop and think about this with me today. You know, think about all these events, the fall. Can you imagine how dark it was when mankind sinned against God and God ultimately had to kick them right out of the Garden of Eden and set up an angel there so they couldn't partake of the tree of life and live forever in that state of sinfulness? That had to be a dark day. Imagine leaving paradise for the first time. How dark that must have been, and just the regret of what we could have had, and now look where we are. You know, and by the way, then after that, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, they had children, right? Cain and Abel. Can you imagine the darkness when Cain killed Abel? It was the first death, and they couldn't bring him back to life. Imagine how dark that must have been. You know, imagine, you know, after that, the flood. You know, Scripture says in Genesis chapter 6, it says, the thoughts of men were only evil continually. I see how dark that was, you know, and at least, you know, sometimes we see a ray of hope that we praise God that there's God's people out there and God's spirit keeping the darkness in check until Jesus comes some. But imagine only evil continually. Imagine Babel when men said, you know what, we're going to build a tower all the way up to heaven and we're going to be like gods. And God says, no, no, no. You're only going to destroy yourselves. And he confounded their language. He created all the languages of the world. You know, imagine Abraham. God calls Abraham, you know, out of the darkness. And by the way, Abraham, his father was an idolater, but God said in his grace, I'm going to save you. And he brings him out of that. You know, you think about Joseph in captivity for something he never did wrong. You know, there's been darkness all over. Think about the captivity of Israel. And everybody look up for a second. Have you guys thought that this pandemic, we should get this thing done because this is too long? Can you imagine being in captivity for 433 years? Nobody probably lived that. Like, you maybe were born into it and you died in it. Think about how dark that is. And that's what God came to change. He came to bring light to that darkness and bring hope. And we think about the judges, you know, Moses led them out of captivity. We think about that time in the wilderness. And then it says in the time of the judges, you know, it says when Moses and Joshua and all those people passed away, all the Israelites forgot who God was. And they kind of fell back again into this darkness of, I got to do it all myself. Life is all about me. It's all about what I want and getting what I want and getting my needs met. You know, and then think about God. God intervenes, and then there's these conquests, and God allows Joshua to take the land of Israel that God promised. But even in the midst of that, there's sin, and there's selfishness, and there's disobedience to God. And then we go to the time that God sets up his kingdom, David and Solomon and all those that follow after him. And again, darkness still there. People still walk away from God. They worship idols made of stone. You know, what is going on? You know, and again, captivity again. God calls them into captivity, first under Assyria and finally under Babylon. And by the way, remember that book that Sammy just talked about, that book, Isaiah, that old book? That book was spoken to those people as they stood before Assyria and ultimately Babylon and went into captivity. And finally, Rome. And Jesus Christ, by the way, came as Rome was in power, subjugating Israel in a whole new and even more broad way. So darkness has always existed. And what I want to say to you as we stop and think about this today, you know, darkness has always existed, but the promises of God's hope has been spoken to each of these generations, and it's been spoken to us. When we think about these prophetic promises, there's so many, and I'm going to hit them real quick, jot them down. They're in your bulletin, and you can get the slides afterwards. But, you know, at the very beginning in the garden, look what God said. You know, as he kicked them out of the garden, as he said, there's going to be some consequences to going against God. You know, he punishes Satan. He punishes Adam and Eve and mankind. But he says this. He says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel, to Satan. And that's the first prophetic utterance that God gives, that God is going to crush Satan and God is going to save man. And it starts all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. You know, God continues and he says, there's going to be a promise of blessing. He says to Abraham, he says, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because Abraham's seed, Abraham's offspring would be Jesus. He continues on. He says not only that, but he continues and he says, guess what? Jesus is going to come out of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to be a lion and he's going to change things. And it says that the lawgiver, the scepter, will not depart from Judah. That power, that lawgiving won't depart from him until Shiloh, until the Savior, the Messiah, comes. You know, God, by the way, said that all the way back. Think about that. That's probably 8,000 years ago. God was looking for you and for me. He looked down the corridor of time. You know, we continue on 2 Samuel, and I just won't read it to you, but 2 Samuel says, you know what? There's going to be someone on David's throne forever, and his name is Jesus. He continued on, you know, in time, and he goes to Isaiah chapter 7. And remember, he says this, by the way, this is an impossibility, humanly speaking, but a virgin is going to bear a child. How could that even happen? And by the way, it's fulfilled, and we'll look at that in a second in the book of Matthew. See how Jesus fulfilled that. And I want you to look at verse 12. It says, the people were saying, we need a sign. Everybody look up. Wouldn't you like a sign from God that it's going to get better? And Ahaz, he says, I'm not even going to ask God for a sign. And look what Isaiah says. He said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary man, but will you weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And by the way, everybody get that in your mind. Emmanuel. And I see an Emmanuel out there. You know what that means? God with us. Not God over us, not God way out there, away from us, not God who started things up and we have to deal with the consequences, but God with us, a God who's in our hearts, a God who's there every second, a God who I can whisper a prayer to, scream a prayer to, and a God who knows my needs. That's what he's talking about. You know, and I want to continue and just, you know, stop and think, what a promise. Oh, and by the way, get a hold of these words, and this might be your thoughts right now. He says, nevertheless, in spite of all the gloom and doom and mess that you deal with, it says when he first lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. In other words, you know what was happening? God was using the Assyrian army to oppress these people to drive them back. But he said, even in that doom and that gloom, look what he says. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And that's right. That's the Messiah. That's the promised one. That's the one who changes everything. That's the one who's been promised from eternity past all the way till now. And you can see in verse 3, look what happens. We'll talk about that Christmas Eve. It's going to increase our joy. By the way, if you guys look up, you know what? Some of us, we need to get a little joy to start with, not even increase it, right? God's going to increase our joy. He's going to give us joy and ability to have hope and contentment no matter what is going on in our lives. We can't change what goes on, but we can change how we respond to it because we know who can. I want to move ahead very quickly for the sake of our time today. You know, Isaiah chapter 9, he talked about, and we'll talk about this more next week as well. He's going to give us a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's come. And that's why we sing, young and old, because that message applies to all of us. And Isaiah 11 says, you know what? He's going to come forth as a rod from the stem of Jesse. And I want you guys to picture this for a second. How many people at some point in the last couple years have felt a little bit hopeless? That's how Israel felt. They were oppressed. They were captive. They were under the thumb of those who ruled over them. They really had no human chance for change. And he uses this picture. The stem, the bush is broken off. But there's going to come this shoot of life out of what is dead. It's going to give hope. And he uses that expression in Isaiah chapter 11 to help us to understand that. Jeremiah continues that same thought. And he talks about, he says, in those days, Judah will be saved. The branch of righteousness is going to do that. And he continues all the way down to the book of Micah, even at the end. And he says, you know, out of Bethlehem, by the way, a little place, a place you went and picked. You know, Jesus wasn't born in New York City. Jesus wasn't born in Rome. Jesus wasn't born in some superpower place where there's superpower people. He came out of this little town. It'd be like being born in Camden, New Jersey, or worse yet, Willingboro. Right? Some little place in the world where nobody knows it. And here's what I'm saying about Willingboro. I'm not down to down Willingboro. What I'm trying to say is this. You know what? If I went to another country in the world and I said I'm from Willingboro, New Jersey, they would have no idea where I said. Isn't that right? Willingboro, are you from New York? No, I'm not from New York. Are you from Washington, D.C.? Nope, not Washington, D.C. I'm from this little place that seems insignificant. but the one who was born there is most significant to all of history. Isn't that great? That's what we're talking about. We're not putting a downer on where we are. We're saying, you know what? A place like us can be a place of hope when God is in it. That's what God's trying to get across to us. Zechariah continues and he talks about how Jesus is going to come. So all those things were promises. Anybody get this in your heart? That God delivered on. God didn't mess up. God didn't forget. God didn't get frustrated with you and me and say, you know what? I know I promised that, but they're not worth it. I'm not going to do it anymore. God fulfilled his promises. And that's what we have to kind of think about and hold on to today, that God keeps all of his promises. And I want to kind of just share, you know, that final delivery. We read about it in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And it says this, it says, and the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. What does that say? That virgin birth, that impossibility is possible with God. God brings that change. God brings that possibility out of nothing. Her husband, by the way, is kind of so freaked out, he's ready to put her away privately. And the angel says, no, don't do that. This thing is from God. And she brings forth the son, verse 21, and says, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And you know what? That's why we sing. He saves us from our sins, right? The penalty, the power that we're wrestling with right now, and ultimately the present. God's going to do those things for us. And he says, and this fulfills that promise. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He's here. And I want to just kind of apply that very quickly this morning. How does that strengthen me? I know it's Christmas all over again. We've celebrated it. We've talked about it. We've covered all these topics probably, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 times in your lifetime. How does that give me hope today? Because the one who promises is the one who delivers. The one who promises is the one who gives you strength when there's no more left in you. He's the one that'd say, you know what? Even in the midst of a pandemic, God is still God, and God is still saving people from their sin. Saving people from the consequences. That. I want to leave you with the thought today, and I want to kind of break a thought that many of us have. You know, people think that church and Jesus and God is for all the people who are good and perfect. Well, guess what? He let us in, didn't he? And I want to share with us, you know, God said this through Matthew. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know what God's saying? He's saying, I know you're beat down from these last 2 years. I know the world has just really took the wind out of your sails. I know you're hurting. I know you want to change situations in your life and they may not change, but here's what he's saying, come to me. Come to me. And he's going to give you that rest, that hope, that peace, that light, that joy. And he's not going to do it just because you're a good person. He's going to do it because he loves you despite who you and I are. Cassie is going to come and she's going to sing a song today to kind of open that invitation up. And when you think about Christmas songs, and by the way, I was helping Cindy type the program. I typed it wrong. You know, we love that song. It says, oh, come all you faithful. Right? You know that song? Well, this song is, come all you unfaithful. because God is faithful. And God's going to reach you right where you're at, give you hope. So as Cassius sings, I encourage you, come. Come to the one who can change everything.